Well, good morning. Thank you for being here today. If you're watching online, hey, thanks for tuning in. If you're over in the East Worship Center, good morning. If you're up at Lockport, all right. Just so, you know, I'm just so thankful to be here. And in fact, you know, it's one of those mornings, one of those times for me, you know, you just, you want to capture it. You want to say, you know, how can I remember this moment, given what I think God is going to share through our time here today? And I want to capture that. I don't want to forget that. And so, as is the trend and kind of the thing to do today, whenever you find yourself in one of those places where you want to capture it, you take a selfie. And some of you are a whatie? Well, it's a selfie. Here, let me show you how. You know, you just take your phone and you fire it up. You hold it out and wait a sec. I got to make sure I got my good side. All right, we're good. Then you got to move your thumb right. All right, smile, click. All right. Hey, that wasn't bad. You know, and then you got to make sure you load it up to your Facebook page and get it on the screen and do all those great and wonderful things. And see, there we go. Look at that. Not too bad, right? Well, maybe so. I don't know. But you really can't tell much from a picture like that, can you? I mean, selfies are designed to do something. They're designed to give you a lot of exposure, but they don't deliver a lot of depth. There's not a lot of meaning. I mean, that picture that was just up there of me that I just took, you know, it really doesn't say anything about what I was thinking, what was going on the inside, some of my motivations. It doesn't say anything about those things. And let me explain it to you this way. Let's suppose that you were getting sick, or you were sick, and you're just like, you know what, I got to do something. I got to go to the doctor. I got to take care of this. This is getting bad. And so right before you go to the doctor, you take a selfie at your house. So you go to the doctor, and you're sitting in the office, and they call you into the room, and you go into the examination room, and they sit you down that crinkly paper. I don't understand that crinkly paper, right? I mean, what's the use of that stuff? I mean, you're uncomfortable enough. Now you got to sit on that stuff. Anyway. But the doctor comes in, and you take your smartphone, and you just hand it to him and say, look, I'm sick. I'm sick. Fix me. Heal me. And the doctor grabs your phone. He looks at yourself. He's like, Yeah, you got bronchitis, don't you? Now, it doesn't work that way, does it? No, the doctor's going to look at your phone and go, what are you doing? He's going to say, you know what? I need to look at you. I need to find out what's going on in you. I need to get to truth as it relates to what's happening in you so I can treat you. That's what the doctor does. He doesn't look at some selfie. And here's why I mentioned that to you, is that this past summer, just a little over 6 months and maybe a couple of days ago, I had something going on with me. And while I didn't have any massive symptoms, there was something that wasn't right. And I knew something wasn't right. And it didn't go away. You know, I took aspirin. I was trying to get sleep. I was trying to exercise. But something was going on with me, and it just wasn't right. And so I went to the doctor, and I didn't show him a selfie. I wanted to, but I didn't. And he looked at me, and we had a conversation. He started asking me some questions, and he goes, you know what? We need to run some tests on you. I need to get a better picture of what's going on with you. So he ordered a sonogram. So I went and had a sonogram. And the results from that sonogram came back, and, something's up. So I talked to the doctor again, and he's like, you know what, we need to look a little deeper. So he ordered a CAT scan. So I had a CAT scan. Never had one of those before. An interesting experience. The results from that came back, and the doctor's like, well, it looks like something is going on. We need to look even deeper. We need to look at exactly what's happening in you. And so they ordered a PET scan. And some of you in this room and some of you watching online, You've had a PET scan. You know what those are. I mean, they light you up from top to bottom. You're radioactive, literally. And then they look at everything. There's no secrets with a PET scan. I mean, the good, the bad, and the ugly, they're seeing everything. Because the doctors need to know that information. They need to get at truth to figure out what's going on. And the truth for me, as it relates to that, was I had cancer. So in June of this year, June 17th to be exact, I got diagnosed with cancer. And those are words that you don't want to hear. Nobody wants to hear those words. You don't want to hear that for yourself. You don't want to hear that for the people that you love. Some of you in this room, you've heard those words spoken to you or spoken to somebody that you love. And it rocks your world. It rocked my world. I mean, there was all these questions, all this emotion, all of these things landing at that point in time, all the things that I wanted to do in the future, celebrate my 25th wedding anniversary, marry my daughters, see their children, all of that in an instant put on hold with a question mark. I didn't know what to do. It was a difficult day. But I knew I couldn't stay there. I knew I had to move forward. And so I had to lean heavy on my faith to take the next step. Heavy. And I pleaded with God at that point in time. God, would you heal me? Would you take this cup, if you will, away from me? I don't want to go through all of the stuff associated with cancer. Because I've watched people walk through that. I watched my own sister walk through that. I watched her spend 9 months fighting it and eventually succumb to the disease. I didn't want that for myself. I didn't want that for my family. I prayed earnestly, God, take that away. He didn't. He didn't do it. Why? It's not because he's not good. It's because he knows what's best. And so I had to go through treatment. Weeks of chemo, weeks of radiation every single day. Man, it was tough. I mean, towards the end, man, it was brutal. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because you've personally have gone through it or you've helped somebody walk through that. It was a challenge. But I can tell you this, that in my darkest days and in the most difficult time, God carried me through that. He carried me through that on the prayers of his people. We had many people praying for us, ministering to our family, ministering to me, ministering to my wife and to my kids. It was awesome to see God's body, the body of Christ, respond. And so don't ever doubt the power of prayer. It is significant and it matters. It does matter. And some of you today might be walking through something very difficult. You might be struggling with something physically. You might be in a place where you don't know what to do. You don't know what the future is going to hold. And my hope for you today is that I can give you some encouragement. Because while I don't understand everything there is about pain and suffering, I don't. I did learn a couple of things, though. And one of the things that I learned is this, is that God uses and allows pain and suffering in our lives to shape and make us into who we ought to be. Not who we want to be, and not even who others think we should be. God uses and allows pain and suffering in our lives to shape and make us into who we ought to be. Not who we want to be, and not who others think we should be. I learned that. I also learned that God is always working. In the midst of our pain, in the midst of our suffering, in the midst of difficulty, God is always working. And he can be trusted because he knows what is best. And I think the Apostle Peter understood this. In fact, I know he did based upon what he wrote to the early church and the early believers who were suffering and being persecuted themselves. So turn with me to 1 Peter, 5th chapter, 10th verse. If you got a copy of God's Word, there's one in the seat back in front of you. I'll have it up here on the screen here in just a moment. But here's what Peter writes to the early church. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. God himself will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And I'm here today, standing in front of you, speaking to you today, 6 months after being diagnosed with cancer, 3 months after my treatment ending, to say, that verse, it's true. That verse is truth. God has restored me in relation to my cancer. By his goodness, by his greatness, he has done that. And I can testify, to this, that don't ever doubt that God isn't who he says he is. He is. And don't ever doubt that he's not going to do what he says he's going to do, because he does. I know that. I'm proof of that. God is who he said he is, and he is going to do what he says he's going to do. He will. He can be trusted. That is who he is. And I don't know for you what that means. A little while, I don't know. A little while. Might mean a day, it might mean a week, it might mean a year. It might mean a long, I don't know. In the scope of eternity, this life and the next, all I know is this, is that God will do what he said. And he is who he said he is. I experienced that. I knew that before, but I got to experience that. And so my hope is that that's an encouragement for you today. As I stand here as a witness to the truth of God's scripture. Some of you may be asking, well Darryl, how do you know that you're cancer free? Well, here's what I didn't do. After treatment, I didn't grab my phone and say, all right, I'm done with treatment now. And I took a selfie and said, yeah, look at that. I'm good to go. I didn't do that. A selfie isn't going to tell me anything about that. No, I had to go get another PET scan. I had to get lit up and glow in the dark and couldn't go across the border, couldn't get on an airplane, all that great and wonderful stuff. And the doctors had to tell me by looking at those results where I was at. That's how I knew. Now, I've been talking in a physical sense to this point in time. But let me ask you this. How healthy are you spiritually speaking? How healthy am I spiritually speaking? Is that even a question that we should kick around, that we should struggle with? I mean, if you were sick spiritually speaking, wouldn't you want to know it? Wouldn't you want to have an idea that, hey, you know what? Spiritually speaking, I have something going on in my life? I think we would, right? I think we would want to know that. Why? So that we could get better. So that we could get healed. So that we could take care of that issue, whatever that issue is. And I think it's a valid question for us. Just like when we're sick physically, we go get treatment and we seek the best treatment. That spiritually speaking, we need to understand, hey, what's going on with us? Am I sick? Do I have a cold? Do I have something major going on? And I think this is exactly the kind of thinking that was behind the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the church at Corinth. And here's what he wrote. This is in 2 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 5. He says this, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. So Paul here is saying, test yourself. Examine yourself. See what's on the inside. And with a room this big, and the number of people watching online, and those in the East Worship Center and at Lockport, assuredly there are some of you that when you look inside, if you're honest, Jesus isn't there. Now, you may have an understanding, maybe have a knowledge of Jesus, but Jesus isn't living there. He's not living there. And with all the compassion that I could muster, I need to tell you the truth, and the truth is this, is that you have a terminal spiritual illness. If you look inside and you're honest with yourself and Jesus is not there, you have a terminal spiritual illness. I don't say that to be mean. I don't say that to be. I say that because I care for you. I say that because I care where that is going to and what that's going to result in. When Jesus is not found, when you look inside, you have a terminal spiritual illness. It's 100% fatal. It's 100% fatal as it relates to when you die, where you're going to spend eternity, and it's not with God. That's the truth of it. I can't say it any plainer than that. You have a terminal spiritual illness. The great news is that there's a cure. There's 100% effective cure for that. 100%. But there's only one. There's only one cure. There's not many. And we're going to talk about that here in just a moment. The other thing that Paul says in this particular passage is he says, examine yourself. Test yourself. What he doesn't say is test God. He doesn't say test God. And you might have heard this, and I've heard it a couple of different times, is you know, you'll be talking with somebody and you'll ask them about their spiritual, their journey and where they're at. And they'll say, you know what? Yeah. You know, 5 years ago, I was in a pinch and had some stuff going on in my life. And I tried God. I tried God. You ever heard that? Ever heard somebody say that? And, you know, I tried religion or I tried God. And yeah, it didn't work out. What they're really saying is that I put God to the test. I tested God. And he didn't do what I wanted him to do. And because he didn't do what I wanted him to do, I can't trust him. Well, that's not what Paul's saying here. And we are not to test God. God, by the way, has already passed the test. God has passed the test. And hear how he has passed the test. God is the one who put skin on and came into a broken and corrupt and sin-filled world and said, I am going to fix this. I'm going to allow you, by faith, to be reconciled to God the Father. I'm going to take all of sin, all of the brokenness, everything on my shoulders. I'm going to suffer and die for you. I'm going to die for you. God has passed the test. He rose again from the grave. He has passed the test. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He has passed the test. It's not up to us to test God. The question is, we need to examine ourselves. If we're willing and we're honest and we have the courage to look inside, what do we find? Now, some of you in this room, and probably most of you are saying, whew, okay. When I look, when I test myself, I find Jesus. And Jesus is there. I have received by faith God's invitation, his grace in Christ. I have done that. That is awesome. That is awesome. But let me ask you this. You passed the entrance exam. But what have you done since that point in time? What's your grade in the class, if you will? Are you doing homework? Or have you just decided, I'm into the class, I've passed the entrance exam, I can do whatever I want to do now? No. God didn't die for you and I so we can do whatever we want to do with our lives. He expects so much more of us. He desires the very best of us. Not to say, hey, I died for you so that you can spend eternity. You can live any way you want. He didn't do that. And Paul, just in a few verses earlier, encourages the church this way. 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, verse 1. Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. God is holy. He expects his people to be holy. He has a desire and an expectation for us. And when we understand what God has done for us, we should be compelled to say, you know what? Anything and everything that's in me that's contaminating my body and contaminating my soul, I need to get rid of that. I need to figure out how to get that stuff out of my life. You know, when I was diagnosed with cancer, you know, I kind of knew the drill. There's going to be some treatments. You know, you're going to have some chemo and you're going to have some radiation. And as some of you know, many of you probably don't know, I have a, prior to being a pastor, I was in the business community, and I have a chemical engineering background. I have a chemical engineering degree. And here's what I didn't do. When I knew treatment was coming, I didn't say, you know what? Yeah, I'm just going to go down to the doctor's office. I'm going to get their little spec sheet on the chemo. Cisplatinum is what they gave me. And I'm going to read what that is, and I'm going to go home, and I'm going to whip up my own batch. I understand chemistry. I mean, I'm a chemical engineer, right? I could do that. And I didn't do that. Nor did I take my microwave and say, you know what? I'm going to tweak this thing, and I'm going to figure it out, and I'm going to make it big enough so I can stick my head in there, and I'm going to give myself radiation. I didn't do that. All right? I mean, we laugh at that, but no, what I did is I said, you know what? I need to go to the person who God has already equipped and empowered and given them skills and abilities to heal people and to help people. Who's that? Who are those people? Who are the best that God has already positioned to be a help for those that need that kind of help? That's what I did. But yet, when we start asking ourselves questions, spiritually speaking, who do we go to? Who do we run to? Who do we listen to? You know, is it somebody on TV who talks about God but doesn't follow God? Is it somebody who has some knowledge of Christ, but they haven't been redeemed by Christ? Or do we say to ourselves, you know what? I can figure this out myself. I can do it myself. I know a little bit, and yeah, it's not that big of a deal. When all along we have the answer on who we can turn to and who we can go to, who can heal us, who can help us. So turn with me to Matthew, 9th chapter. Great little passage here, talking about this truth, about who we can go to. And beginning in verse 12, and here's the setup. Jesus is hanging out, and he's with the tax collectors. Now, the tax collectors were, well, they were the outcasts. I mean, they lied, they cheated, nobody trusted them. They were considered and labeled the sinners. Now, if you want an example of what is a sinful life, everybody just pointed to the tax collectors. And so the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of the day, were talking with the disciples of Jesus, those that were following Jesus, and said, hey, what is Jesus doing hanging out with them? I don't get that. Because we're the religious leaders of the day, and if he should be hanging out with anybody, it should be us, because Man, we have the spiritual swag. We got it going on. He should be spending time with us, not them. And so that's the backdrop. And so here's what happens. So pick up with me in verse 12, 9th chapter Matthew, verse 12. On hearing this, on what the Pharisees were saying, Jesus says, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Jesus came to call the sinners. Those that know who they are, those that know that they're sick, those that know that they need something, that's who Jesus came for. He didn't come, according to this passage, for those that say, "Hey, I already got it all figured out. I don't need Jesus. My righteousness is based on what I do." And if you ever looked at history and said, is there a group of people that loved selfies and that was their whole thing? It was the Pharisees. They were made for the selfie, man. And I could just see them grabbing their smartphones, if they had them, and running up to Jesus and saying, "Check this out. I snapped this yesterday right as the sun was setting as I was going into the temple, and look at the way it makes my robes glow. It is awesome. There's going to be so many likes on this. It's going to be fabulous. And I even got a little video vine of me serving and giving yesterday that I think Jesus, I mean, seriously, you really should check this out. And oh, by the way, can I put my arm around you? Can we grab a little picture here? That was their deal. Their dress and their position and their presence, how they were viewed by others, they equated directly to righteousness. Directly to righteousness. And Jesus is saying, I don't do business that way. I look at what's on the inside, not what's on the outside. I look at what's on the inside, not the outside. And because Jesus looks at what's on the inside, not the outside, he's not concerned with our selfie. And it's easy for us sometimes to take spiritual selfies, isn't it? Well, I go to church. I give a little bit. I might do this. I might do that. Take a selfie. Jesus is concerned and wants to know what's on the inside. And because he is concerned about that, we should as well. So is there a way for us? Is there a way for us to take, if you will, a spiritual PET scan of our souls and our hearts so that we can fully understand what's going on inside of us? I think there is. And in fact, I think God's word speaks to that. So turn with me to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. And the writer of Hebrews says this, 4th chapter, beginning in the 12th verse. "For the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." You want to get a spiritual PET scan of your soul and your heart? You need to be in God's word. There is no way for us to be able to say I'm spiritually healthy if we're not consistently, repeatedly, and significantly diving into God's word. There's no way. There is no way you can understand that I can understand what's going on inside of me unless we're spending significant time in God's word. It is the way that we look deep inside of our souls and in our hearts. It's the only way. And you're like, well, how does that work? Well, God's word cooperates with God's spirit to illuminate what is going on in us. God's word is the language that God's Spirit speaks. And his word says in 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, the 10th verse, it says this, is that the Spirit of God searches all things, even the deep things of God. So when we want to look at what's happening inside of us, we need to be in God's word. We need to allow God's word by his Spirit to speak into us, to pry open those things inside of us, to have the courage and the honesty to say, God, reveal to me where and what is going on so that I can take it to you to be healed and to be helped by that. And some of you sitting here today, you may be saying, you know what, I'm still not convinced necessarily that I need to really do that. I'm in pretty good shape. I think I try to do the right things. I'm a good person to speak of, and yeah, well, I might stub my toe every now and then, but for the most part, I'm pretty good at everything that I do, or I try to be anyway. Well, can I press in on that just a little bit, and just say, friend, you never struggle with anger. You never struggle with bitterness, unforgiveness, gossip, lust, greed. Are those things a part of your life? I don't know. They might be. Or let me ask it to you this way. Is there a secret sin that you're carrying? Is there a sin that has a special spot in your life? I don't know. Those are some difficult questions. But if we're honest with ourselves and we're in God's word, we'll understand that those things are symptoms of a spiritual illness. Those things are symptoms of a spiritual illness that if we're honest and we allow God's word and his Spirit to speak into our lives, we can do something about. And here's how we do something about those things. Three easy steps. These are super simple, but I guarantee if you do these things, you will grow spiritually speaking. It will enable you to become healthier wherever you're at, spiritually speaking. And the first is this, is that we need to look. Just write that down, look. We need to dig into God's word to look deep into our soul. If we're not doing that on a frequent basis, we're missing it. We're not going to know if we're sick or not. We're not going to know what's happening in us. And in your worship folder today, there should be a card that says, hey, here's a reading plan for the next year. I encourage you to take that and follow that and to spend some routine and significant time in God's word. Because when you do, God is going to show you some things about yourself. He is. So the first step is look. We need to look, which means we need to dig into God's word so we can look deep into our souls. And the second step is this. We need to repent. Now, repent technically means a turning away from, an about face. But the way I would describe it is this, is that we need to come clean to get clean. You need to come clean to get clean. You need to go before God and say, God, I'm a mess. Your word has revealed to me that I'm a mess in this regard in my life, and I need help. By your grace, will you help me? By your strength, will you provide for me? We need to come clean to get clean. Until you do, nothing's going to happen. You're still going to be in the same place where you're at. And the last step is this, is that we need to trust. We need to trust. We need to go to the only person who can help us. And that is Jesus. He came for the sick. He came for the sinner. Now, can God bring around you people, godly people, to help you with whatever? He can. But that isn't a substitute. That's not a substitute. We need to trust him. We need to take it to him. We need to look, we need to repent, and we need to trust. And just like I mentioned earlier, that God is always working. He is always in our lives, no matter what's going on. In the pain and the difficulties, he's always working. He is shaping and making us who we ought to be. And Paul knew this. And Paul writes to the church of Philippi. And many of you, this is a very familiar passage. But it applies great to what we're talking about here. And so here's what Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. First chapter, the sixth verse. He says this, being confident of this, that he, that is God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. God is always desiring to work in us if we allow him. And the best way for us to allow God to work in our lives is to be in his word. And to allow his word to speak deep into us and to reveal what is going on inside of us. So as we need to, we can repent. We can come clean to get clean. And whatever it is, we can take it to God. We can trust God in that. And he will help us. He will speak into that. So what's the point of today's message? And if there's one thing that I would like for you to get from today, it's this. Is that the depth of my gaze, the depth by which you look into yourself with God's word and his spirit, is going to determine the depth of your walk. It's that simple. Some of us, we desire to be used by God. We want to be that influence. We want to be that person of light. We want to be that person that has an answer and can help others with their journey. But yet when we look around, it's like, I don't have much opportunity for that. Where's God working in me in such ways? Well, perhaps it's because your walk is pretty shallow. And you don't have much to say. But you can. You should. The willingness that we have to honestly look inside of us is going to determine how God works in us and then how he's going to work through us. The depth of your gaze, the depth of my gaze, is going to determine the depth of my walk. It's that simple. So my hope for you, my encouragement for you, is that this year, make a commitment to spend time in God's word. Make a commitment to allow God's word to speak into your life. And let me close with this. There's a guy who was a missionary leader back at the turn of the last century. And he went around a couple of different places, but eventually landed in South Africa and did a lot of writing on a number of things, and some of you may even know him. But I just love reading things that people who have a deep walk in what they write, I mean, it has power, it has impact. So let me read to you what, the guy's name is Andrew Murray, and this is out of a book he wrote called The Lord's Table. And here's what he says. I'm convinced that one chief cause why some do not grow more in grace is that they do not take time to hold converse with the Lord in secret. Spiritual, divine truth does not thus become our possession at once. Although I understand what I read, although I consent heartily to it, although I receive it, it may speedily fade away and be forgotten, unless by private meditation I give it time to become fixed and rooted in me, to become united and identified with me. Christians, give your Lord time to transfer his heavenly thoughts to your inner spiritual life. When you've read a portion, set yourselves in silence before God. Those are some great words about the value of being in God's Word, setting time aside and allowing God's Word to become rooted in us. And my prayer for each of you is that that is exactly what this new year is going to hold. That God's Word would become rooted and a part of you and affixed to you. And that as you read God's Word, that it will make a difference in where and who you are. Because God wants to make you into who you ought to be, not who you want to be, and not who others think you should be. I'm going to pray here in just a minute. And if earlier when I was talking about examine yourselves, test yourselves, if you look and are honest with what's going on inside of you and Jesus isn't there, there is a cure for that. There is a cure for that. And it's by putting your faith and trust in Jesus. God who passed the test. God who came and died for you, for me. God who offered himself such that we can be reconciled to the Father. If that is you, I'm going to pray here in just a moment. Now, my prayer, there's nothing magical about my prayer. It needs to be your words from your heart with all that you have, all that you believe. And when we're done here in just a moment, if you do pray that prayer and you mean it, come by the fireside room. Just out these doors, right across the atrium. If you're in the East Worship Center, come by the cafe and come across the atrium. And just come in there and say, you know what, Daryl, I prayed that prayer. We'll give you something to just help you on your way. We're not going to ask you to do anything. May have some other people there to pray with you and to help you. Ask and answer some additional questions. But that's it, a couple minutes. No big deal. If you're online, click on Know Jesus. There's a tab right there that says Know Jesus. Click on that, and you can follow the instructions and respond to the information as appropriate. For the rest of us, hopefully you were encouraged today, and you understand the value of knowing whether you're spiritually healthy or spiritually sick. And that's something we should routinely do. Assess our spiritual health. And the best way to do that is by being in God's Word. And when we're in God's Word, it's going to speak to us. It's going to penetrate deep. It's going to tell us things. It's going to show us things. It's going to say, you need to pay attention to this. We need to be those kind of people. So let us pray. Father, for those in this room and under the sound of my voice who might be in a place where they need to respond to you. When they look deep inside, Father, they know that they have a terminal spiritual illness. And for the first time, Father, they recognize that they need to do something about that. And they recognize that the only way to be healed is to accept the grace in which you've offered in your Son, Jesus. And if that's you in this room or under the sound of my voice, please pray with me. In your own words, Heavenly Father, I understand that I'm a sinner. I understand that I'm lost. I understand that, spiritually speaking, I'm sick. And Father, I trust, I place my faith and trust in your Son, Jesus. I believe that he came. I believe that he died. I believe that he rose again, and it's in his name I trust. And I desire, Father, to be reconciled to you. For those of us in this room that already have a relationship with Jesus Christ, Father, I ask that you would encourage us, that you would spurn us on to continue to dive deep into your word, that your spirit would illuminate those things in our lives which need to be dealt with. And Father, may we have courage and may we trust that you will help us to become well, that you will heal us, that you will make us strong, steadfast, and firm. And Father, for those that may be suffering physically, I ask, Lord, that you would encourage them this day. May they hold to the fact and hold to the truth that you are who you say you are, and you will do what you say you're going to do. We ask these things, Father, in your Son's holy, precious name. Amen.